myself off. How about that? That's much better. Hello. Good morning. I want you to know that it didn't get in the bulletin, but we have a cellist this morning, and her name is Molly Williams. Welcome. Debbie has found this wonderful piece for the children who are being baptized this day and invited Molly to join us because it fits perfectly with what we're doing. So welcome, Molly. We're glad that you're here. We continue to work through the book of Acts and the book of John. And so hear this word from the 11th chapter of the book of Acts. Now the apostles and believers who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also accepted the word of God. So Peter went up to Jerusalem. The circumcised believers criticized him, saying, "Why did you go to uncircumcised men and eat with them?" Then Peter began to explain it to them step by step, saying, "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. There was something like a large sheet coming down from heaven, being lowered by its four corners, and it came close to me. And as I looked at it closely, I saw four-footed animals, beasts of prey, reptiles, and birds of the air. And I also heard a voice saying to me, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.' But I replied, 'By no means, Lord, for nothing profane or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' But a second time, the voice answered from heaven, 'What God has made clean, you must not call profane.' This happened three times, then everything was pulled up again to heaven. At that very moment, three men sent to me from Caesarea arrived at the house where we were. The Spirit told me to go with them and not to make a distinction between them and us. These six brothers also accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. And he told us how he had seen the angel standing in his house and saying, 'Send to Joppa and bring Simon, who is called Peter. He will give you a message by which you and your entire household will be saved.' And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them, just as it had upon us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' If then God gave them the same gift that he gave us, when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could hinder God?" And when they heard this, they were silenced, and they praised God, saying, "Then God has given even to the Gentiles the repentance that leads to life." And from the Gospel of John, the 13th chapter, the 31st verses through the 35th, comes a story of Jesus talking to his disciples in the upper room on the day that we call Maundy Thursday, after Judas has dipped his hand and his bread in the same cup that Jesus has, and therefore Jesus has accused him of being the one who will betray. And the story picks up here. When Judas had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me. And as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So I was at lunch on Thursday with my mom, and she says, "Hey, what's the 11th commandment?" And I said, "What are you talking about? There's no 11th commandment. You're crazy, woman." And she said, "Well, the billboard in the church down below us says the guy is preaching on the 11th commandment. What is it?" And I went, "Oh, I know what you're talking about now." Because this same story, when it appears in Matthew, is labeled a little differently than it is today. In Matthew, the Pharisees come to Jesus and say, "What's the greatest of the Ten Commandments?" And he answers, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." And that is often called the 11th commandment. That's where that comes from. But here today, we get John's version of this story. And unlike the other three Gospels, John is telling a story where Jesus is literally hours from death. Likely in less than 15 hours from when we're hearing this story, Jesus will be on the cross. And so the question for us is, if you knew you were going to die, what last things would you want to say to your loved ones? What would you want them to know? You know, there's a movie like this, sort of. It's called The Bucket List. Anybody remember this movie from years ago? Jack Nicholas and Morgan Freeman. They are two terminally ill men who would probably never be together except for the fact that they land in a hospital room together. And as they do, they start to create this list of things they want to do before they die. And it's an interesting list, to be sure. Things like skydiving and race car driving and going on an African safari. But then there are other, deeper things. They want to laugh till they cry. Jack Nicholson wants to kiss the prettiest girl alive. And he does, because it ends up being his own granddaughter, who he had never met. And he also wants to help a complete stranger for the common good. And that one he crosses off the list after he gives the eulogy for his friend who has gone and done bucket list things for him. In today's text, Jesus knows he is about to die. Judas has just been sent out by him to go and betray him. And yet here he is, he gives us his last words, his last will and testament, his final command. "This is what I want you to do. Just as I have loved you, so love one another. And by this, everyone will know you are my disciples, if you love one another." We must this day pay close attention to that which Jesus does not say. He does not say, when death comes knocking and the Son of God has mere hours left to communicate the heart of his message to his disciples, "Believe the right things." Jesus does not say, "Maintain personal and doctrinal purity." Nor does he say, "Worship like this or attend a church like that." He doesn't even say, "Read your Bible, pray every day, or preach the gospel to every living creature." He says, "Love one another." That's it. The last dream of a dead man walking. All Christianity distilled down to its essence so that maybe we'll pause long enough to hear it. Love one another. What is staggering about this commandment is how badly we've managed to botch it over the last 2,000 years. New Testament scholar D.A. Carson names the irony in this way. This command is simple enough for a toddler to memorize and appreciate. And yet it is profound enough that the most mature believers are repeatedly embarrassed at how poorly we comprehend it and put it into practice. If we look at our own lives, it's probably not hard to name why perpetually we fail to obey Jesus' dying wish. Love is vulnerable making, and I'd rather not be vulnerable. Love requires trust, and I am naturally suspicious. Love spills over margins and boundaries, and I feel safer and holier policing my own boundaries and borders. Love takes time, effort, discipline, and transformation. And who the heck wants that stuff? But note that Jesus commands, not suggests, that we love. This is not a mere suggestion. Jesus is insisting here, commanding, pushing us forward to love. And it's hard to do. We get this notion, you know, from Julia Roberts, that love is something that happens on an elevator at the top of the Empire State Building when we see the one that we're meant to be and our hearts beat and our everything happens. And that's what love is. But perhaps not. That kind of love is hard to maintain. It is sometimes harder still to love the unlovable, or to love when we don't feel like loving. You know, when you've changed the 27th dirty diaper and the kid will not take his bottle and he doesn't want to go to sleep and you just want to go like this. Once when I was a nanny for 2 years. Started with a kid when he was 6 months, went to age two and a half. His parents were both PhD pastoral care people, which meant that their kids were nuts. And a mom came home one day and she said, "How was your day?" And I said, "I almost threw your child through the window." And she started a little, and then I realized what I had said. And she went, "Okay, let's sit down and talk about it, because people have told me you won't always love this child, even if you always love them." It is hard to love sometimes, even people you like. That, my friends, is why love is a choice. It's a verb. It's something that we have to work at. It's something that we have to do. It doesn't always just come naturally to us. And when Jesus says, "Love as I have loved you, do what I do, live as you have seen me live, weep with those who weep, laugh with those who laugh, touch the untouchables, feed the hungry, welcome the child, release the captive, forgive the sinner, confront the oppressor, wash each other's feet, hold each other close, tell each other the truth, guide each other home." Jesus is saying to us, even though it may be difficult, love as I have loved. Live as I have shown you how to live. And and abide in that holy place where love is first and foremost. Thanks be to God this day. Amen.